evening, we would turn in our hymnals to song 193. Page number 193 in our hymnals, we're going to sing Faith is the Victory, song 193.
Above with shouts of triumph trod. By faith they like a whirlwind's breath swept o'er every field. The faith by which they conquered death is still our shining shield. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. On every hand be left behind and onward to the fray. Salvation's helmet on each head, with truth all girt about. The earth shall tremble 'neath our tread and echo with our shout. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. To him that comes the foe, white raiment shall be given. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in heaven. Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts alove with flame, we'll vanquish all the hosts of night in Jesus' conquering name. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory.
All right.
Welcome back to our evening service. You'll open your bulletins. Today is June 29th. We have our Sunday morning service at 10:30, Sunday evening 4:30, Wednesday service at 5:30. We have soul winning at 2 p.m. We actually went out soul winning today. We kept it simple because we knew we were going to get caught in the rain, so only the men went out this time. And we actually got two right away, and then we were able to sow in for maybe another hour before the rain actually started. The memory chapter, Psalm 23, and the psalm of the week is Psalm 23:5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. And then year-to-date, souls won 150, and we have all the birthdays there. I don't know how we got that mix-up, but we'll fix all those birthdays. And then it was Christian's birthday yesterday, so just wish her a happy birthday. We sang to her last week, but you can still belated happy birthday. It just was yesterday. And then is that correct? Your anniversary is on the 24th? Your anniversary? Okay. July 24th, and then the Matos anniversary, and then Miranda's is on the 15th. And then we had a good fifth Sunday dinner. And so we'll remove that, but that was really good lunch, and we really enjoyed the time and the fellowship. And then just let me know about the men's retreat and the Fire Breathing Baptist Fellowship. And then the only other thing is just go ahead and at the end of the day, just like we did last week, if you guys can just help me with your kids clean up any of the stuff that we've left behind. And then I think we're good on the prayer list. It's good to have Sister, well, she's not here this afternoon, but she was here this morning, Sister Karen, so still pray for her. I know she's not 100%, and pray for the Bostics. He's in hospice now, and she's about to be in a assisted living. And then just any of the deaths in the family there at the bottom. Other than that, turn your hymnals over to, actually, I don't know where to turn your hymnals over to, so we'll, 283. All right, turn your hymnals to 283. Song 283, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. Song 283.
Comfort here by faith in him to dwell, for I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace trial, feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. Gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. All the way Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of his love, perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's home above. When my spirit clothed immortal wings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way.
All right, now, if we would turn in our song binders. Turn in our song binders to Psalm 150. If there's not a song binder near you, a lot of you are on this right side. There's some across the aisle from you. But if you can't find one like that, you can turn in your Bibles to Psalm 150.
Amen.
Over there in Psalm 150. Singing. Now, if we would turn in our Bibles to Galatians chapter number 5.
Galatians chapter number 5. We'll read there in the Bible. Starting at verse 1, where the Bible reads, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. And for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well who did hinder you, that ye should not obey the truth. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you, through the Lord, that you will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is justified in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are made manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another." Let's have a quick word of prayer. Dear Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you for this chapter in the Bible, Lord. I pray that you be with Pastor Enrique as he preaches a sermon out of the book of Galatians, Lord, and I pray that you be with those that were safe today. I pray that you help them to walk in the path of light, help them to have a desire to serve you, Lord, and I pray that you be with us all, help us to receive the sermon with gladness of heart, Lord, and I pray that we all get home safely tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. All right, we're there in Galatians. Give me a second here. I just got to get that. I'm always forgetting something. But we're there in Galatians 1, and we are, I guess I'm on a kick. I'm not a programmer by any means of the imagination, but I do run a digital agency.
Sometimes you have to do some programming stuff, and programming is if, or...
You know, like when you're setting up programming, like think process, it's if, then, or, you know, you can have them. And I guess today I'm on the or part because the title of the sermon this afternoon is Liberty or Lawlessness. I know that this morning it was what, sealed or seared. So I guess I'm just giving you a bunch of options. It's either one or the other. But I thought about this one for a couple of reasons. Number one, I was looking back at all the sermons I've preached, and I guess because Pastor Cobb and I have alternated for so many years, usually in the past, he's preached more of the sermons near the holidays, and so I've never really brought up like a 4th of July or a liberty-based sermon, but then I thought to myself, what can I really speak about liberty that we won't really cover, because obviously we all believe we're free in Christ, and we have these things, but the one thing I did want to touch on, because this is one of the things that we hear a lot, is this thing of like, well,
you know, with freedom, we can do anything. But we also hear the contrary, right? Freedom isn't free, right? The reason we have freedom is because we have people that have fought for this country. We have things that have come through. And also, we also have law and order. But the challenge is that as we continue on this precipitous fall in this country, the one thing that we see is this push for, like, all we're libertarians as Christians, but we're not a free-for-all, if that makes any sense. And we keep almost kind of going in the way of lawlessness, right, of anarchy. I mean, you've got groups like Antifa, and you've got the left just, I mean, everything goes. They just want everything to go. And even the right, I mean, I don't know how you feel about Trump. I really don't care. I mean, at this point, you guys know how I feel about Trump. But he's done some good things, and I mentioned those good things this morning. But I also think he's done some really bad things. And so, for example, you know, the fact that the Supreme Court has been removed, that they've ruled in favor of basically not giving themselves any more power, means that we were moving checks and balances in this country. You know, I don't care where you stand on the issue of birthright citizenship, but I do care on the issue of where we get our law and order from. The reason that our judicial system was set up the way that it was is so that we have checks and balances, right? The executive branch, the judicial branch, the legislative branch, we're all separate for that very reason. We learned this in school, right? Remember that? The judicial branch, the legislative branch, the executive branch, and each one served as what? A checks and balances. That's why we have the House of Representatives and we have the Senate, and then we still have the office of the president. But the more that we head towards, the end times, the more we head towards chaos, the more we're actually going to put on the books laws that are lawlessness, right? You know, that's going to be the theme. And we already see it even today. And I wanted to touch on a bunch of examples, but I said, you know what, let me just stick to the biblical part of it for this. And so the title again is Liberty or Lawlessness. And really is that freedom is not our anarchy, right? We are not anarchists. We are free in Christ. But because we're free in Christ, we also recognize that we want to also obey and submit to Christ and follow his rules, his regulations for our life. We're not just like a free-for-all. We're not just going to do anything that pleases. You know, Paul said everything, all things were expedient, but not all things were needful, right? So let's go there in Galatians 5 and verse 1. It says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So what's the yoke of bondage? Sin. And it's interesting the way it's worded, right? Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. The only reason you're free is because you believed in Christ. But that doesn't mean that you're not in danger of being entangled again with what? The yoke of bondage. We'll go there and let's kind of follow through the theme of this morning. Also, about the Spirit, I mean, if you look at chapter 5 of Galatians, the Spirit is mentioned quite a bit. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. So there's that theme again of, you know, that we are sealed in Christ. We see that in verse 9 says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Verse 13 says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Right? Walk in the, and the verse 16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 17 says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are what? Contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. And I love verse 19 and the contrast we see in verse 22, because this is a great way to explain to someone or to clarify salvation for them, right? If people, because one of the common things is we know, or I'm making the assumption that we know we're saved by grace through Christ, right? That we have eternal security, that it's not of works. But one of the things that I think is harder to learn is that how do you consolidate that with the fact that we're still sinners, right? And I remember as a young Christian, there was times where I would be like doubtful, how is it that I'm saved? Because, you know, you're just messing up or you're doing things wrong. And it's because we're not, number one, we're not reading our Bibles. And number two, people aren't explaining things. But I remember when this was explained, I don't remember if I listened to it in a sermon or somebody explained it to me or I figured it out through the Spirit. I honestly don't remember. But if you look there carefully, verse 19 says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. So what did we see earlier this morning? We saw that the works of God is for us to believe. The work of God is for us that he sent his son so that we could believe on Jesus Christ, right? But here, the works of the flesh, meaning man's work, is irrelevant. It says that we do all these things, right? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like. Doesn't that sound like anarchy? I mean, literally, I mean, that is the definition or one of the definitions you could put out there, right? But then verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And against there's no such law. It's the fruit of the Spirit. The only reason that we manifest good works or anybody thinks that we do anything good is through the Spirit, right? That through the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, even our works aren't our works. They're the works that Jesus Christ has allowed us to do. We have that grace of God in our lives. And then verse 25, let's just look there. It says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So just because you have the Spirit of Christ, you know, today we led two people to Christ when we're out soul winning. Just because they have the Spirit doesn't mean they're going to walk in the Spirit. What do they have to do in order to grow? Well, it would be beneficial for them, right, to show up to church, to read their Bibles, to get baptized, to try to lead their children or their family to Christ. There's a lot of things that we do to improve that doesn't remove the salvation from their life, but it definitely would help not only their life, but society. And at the end of the day, why do we teach all this stuff? I mean, we're saved, we're going to heaven. It doesn't really matter in the sense of like our eternal security, but where it matters is number one, here on earth, I mean, we're still alive. Right. I mean, as long as God, I know we don't have a lease on life, but you know what? I'm making plans 5, 10, 15, 20 years down the road. And God willing, most of us will probably be here tomorrow. And we still have to function in society and we have to, you know, interact with other people. Well, we want to know that we're making an impact and an inroad where we influence people to live righteously. So we don't have to worry about, you know, locking our doors or, you know, sleeping with a shotgun next to us. I mean, there's places in the world where people are just, you know, running scared because there's lawlessness. I mean, lawlessness prevalent, right? But second of all, also we want those rewards or that recompense that comes in eternity. I don't know what eternity looks like other than what the Bible's given us, but the Bible's given us clear instruction that there's crowns and rewards in heaven. And that because of that, there's also going to be a hierarchy in heaven where some will have rule over, you know, cities, tens, 100, you know, 50. I don't know if I'm going to, maybe I might just be, I'll be glad to be a janitor for the Lord Jesus Christ, but wouldn't it be cooler if he just gave you like even 10 cities? I mean, I'm not even asking for 100, right? But I don't know what that means either. I don't know what kind of authority, what we're going to be doing. Obviously, my thought, and this is my opinion, is that we're actually going to just continue doing the things that we do, but under the perfect, incorruptible vision of Jesus Christ, right? Whatever that looks like. Well, let me just give you the first point. Go over to James 1. And the first point I have for you is that the truth of liberty and the deceit of anarchy, right? And we have to be careful. We do believe in liberty, and Christ has made it very clear that we are free. That's why we love this country. You know, last week I said, and I'll say it again, this is still the greatest country in the world. It really is. I mean, my wife likes to follow on Instagram this, and I've said it before, but I just think it's interesting. For me, the interesting part is these guys have built an entire channel. It's these two British guys, these two young Brits, and they go around the entire country eating at different restaurants or going to different experiences. Why do they do that? You know why? Because you can't get that kind of experience in London. London's a big city. You can't get that kind of experience in other parts of Europe or the world. Why? Because we have liberty, and with liberty comes, you know, the ability to just be creative, to do things that, you know, think outside the box. You're not basically confined to a socialist viewpoint or a communist viewpoint, right? I mean, if I think of something, I believe I can do it in America, right? If I'm like, oh, I see a problem in business, and I'm like, oh, I think I could come up with a solution. You know what? As Americans, we believe that we could do that, right? Or if I think of a righteous cause, maybe, and I'm talking from the flesh, right? If somebody says, well, I think we should do this, you know what? Chances are somebody could figure it out and do it, right? The greatest innovation, the greatest inventions of the new of the 20th and 21st century have all come mainly from the United States. That's not a coincidence. But also with that comes the extreme side of liberty, which is that anarchist viewpoint, right? Where now we're like, everything goes. Let's just confuse the genders. Let's confuse the laws. Let's confuse morality. You know, who cares that Trump, you know, is a fornicator and an adulterer and married a million times? Who cares? As long as he gives us good economic outcomes, nobody cares. Same thing with Bill Clinton. Remember that? I mean, everybody gave him a pass because they thought he was a cool president, you know, with his little raspy voice. But that's not what we do here, right? We want freedom or liberty, but not from authority. Like, we want to be under authority, right? If you think about it, liberty really walks in the law of God. It's not running away from it. And it comes with boundaries. And honestly, the more that you submit to God's boundaries, the more free you are. Because the bondage is what? We are now free from sin, but we keep coming back to sin, putting ourselves under the bondage of sin when we activate the flesh, right? It's not doing whatever you want. You know, it's the freedom to obey God without the fear of bondage. And that's really where we want to head in life. Like, the ultimate, I think one of the ultimate goals of a Christian should be that he should wake up, or she should wake up and just be like, I can do whatever I please because I know what I'm not going to do. These are things that are not in my purview. And so then everything else is just free to enjoy and live life happily, right? I mean, I think about when I was a young man, I didn't really live a righteous life. I didn't get saved till I was 25, and I lived like most Americans and did what most Americans do. Not to the extreme that, you know, I've never done drugs, like, for example. But, you know, I mean, I've tasted alcohol, which I'm not, you know, it's not something I'm proud of, or I've partied. And I went to nightclubs and did all that. And it was always miserable, right? And now I just, like, we do Baptist parties. Like, I love going to these conferences, and we stay up till 2-3 o'clock in the morning, partying it out, you know, talking about scripture and soul winning and plans. And then the next day, you know what happens? The difference is, before, I used to stay out late, and then I wake up the next day wanting, like, to just roll over and not ever wake up again. Right now, like, you stay up till 2 and you wake up at 7, you're like, let's go. What are we going to do today? Like, what are we going to accomplish today? Because, I mean, we didn't do anything crazy. But you're there in James 1, verse 22. The Bible says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Look, the only one you lie to is yourself if you don't do what God's asked you to do. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. And I think it's interesting the way it's worded there, right? The perfect law of liberty. There is a law to being free. It's not just what, you know, what people think here. Because you'll hear both sides, and it's just always, and I generalize, this country really is split into two sides, right? And then you kind of have people in the middle. But usually you'll hear people, oh, we're free to do this. And then you'll hear the opposite side say, well, we can just do whatever we want. Isn't this a free country? Well, yeah, but within the confines of this law, right? There's consequences to our actions. Go over to Psalm 119, but in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17, the Bible says, now the Lord is that spirit, and where that spirit of the Lord is, what? There is liberty. That's the key, right, is the Holy Spirit. I guess I should have just named the theme of today the Holy Spirit, because we're really on this kick. But Psalm 119, verse 41, which is the longest chapter in the Bible, but also the chapter, one of the most important chapters in the Bible, in my opinion, because it's all about what? God's word. And we're there in verse 41. It says, let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not thy word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up to unto thy commandments, which I have loved. And I will meditate in thy statutes. Where do we get liberty from? From Christ. Right? I mean, anything that we want to do in life, we need to seek the Lord for that answer. The world promises freedom, but what does it deliver? Chaos, right? How does it deliver chaos? Well, I mean, it just depends. You know, pick your poison. Perversion, addiction, right? Obviously, everything leads to hell, but anarchy is just rebellion. It's rebellion, you know, it's really a satanic spirit. You think about groups like Antifa, every few years, what do? They just gather together to go and basically protest, but they don't protest. That what they're doing is they're anarchy. There's a difference between protesting, hey, I don't agree with something, going to city council, or maybe joining a group. If that's what you like to do, if that's your cup of tea. But then there's a difference between showing up to the streets and then just destroying businesses, looting. What was it? Wasn't it recently on No King's Day, that some of the cities like got out of hand and then all of a sudden they started looting? And people like to pick on race. This wasn't the black race. This was the Hispanic race. They were the ones looting. They were the ones destroying. They were the ones that were going in all the stores stealing. What does that have to do with protesting? Nothing. It's anarchy because they think they can just do whatever they want. They feel like there's no consequences to their actions. Judges 21, you don't have to turn there. Turn to Proverbs 29. Turn to Proverbs 29. But in Judges 21, verse 25, the Bible says, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And isn't the book of Judges one of the toughest books in the Bible to read? Now, we're not like most pastors or some pastors that have said that they won't read certain scripture to ruin like a weekend. I'll read it whenever we need to read it. I'm just saying the truth, though. It is a hard book to read, right? I mean, Judges 19, Judges. I mean, just the whole thing. Samson just really screws up. I mean, we love Samson, but he was just taken. Why? Because he walked away from the precepts of the Lord. He decided he wanted to marry outside of what the Lord had told him and his family told him. And they gouged his eyes. And then he had to commit suicide in a last ditch attempt to just, you know, avenge himself before the Lord. Proverbs 29, verse 17, the Bible says, correct thy son and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. I like the way that that's worded because we all want liberty of all sorts, right? And as parents, we want liberty from like riotous children, right? There's nothing that's more taxing to a parent than when your kids are like on a kick. You know, they get their second wind. Sometimes who's ever tried to put their kids to bed and then they just get like this weird second wind and you're just like, maybe I'll just throw them out the window. You know, maybe they'll just fall asleep. Yeah, I'm getting to raise a hand over there, right? People say, oh, you shouldn't say that. People that say that just have never raised any kids, right? I love my kids, and I think they're great. But every once in a while, I'm like, I don't know. I don't know how these guys came from me, right? I was just like, I don't know what's going on here, but we got to put some order. But you know what? I'm so glad they have a bedtime because it just gives us rest and liberty from having to deal with all their nuances every day. You know, mom, we were watching something, my wife and I and some lady literally grabbed a clicker and she said, I'm gonna click every time my kids say mom. And then it was like her kids had said mom to her, like requesting stuff like 300 times in a day. She's like, I did the math. If they do this every day, it's 85,000 times that I hear the word mom. No wonder moms get so annoyed when they hear the word mom, right? I related to her. I don't even like to hear the word mom from my kids because I'm just like, what do you need now? Go get your own juice. Go open your own door. Go get your own toilet paper. I don't know. I'm just whatever it is, right? And I'm not picking on my kids. It's just those are all kids. That's just kids in general, right? But the Bible says, correct thy son and he shall give thee rest. He shall give delight unto thy soul. Well, look, the way we get rest in the land is when we allow the Lord to correct us and we'll give the land rest. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. A servant will not be corrected by words, for though he understand, he will not answer. And so I don't know why I added that one, but that's still a really good verse. Just apply that one to your life and however you need to. I don't know how it ties to this sermon, but maybe it was because the servant will not be corrected by words, right? We, even though we serve the Lord Jesus Christ, we are what? His children. We are children in Christ. But what's the alternative? The alternative is just worse, right? So if we don't correct our children, there's no guarantee. First of all, if you correct your children, just like if you correct people in the church, chances are you're going to be better off. There's no guarantee, though, because unfortunately we're all human, right? So I could raise up my children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. I can give them all the best tools. And I've told my wife this. I was like, don't think for a second that our kids might not rebel. I'm not being negative. I'm not even like hoping for it, but I am prepared for it. My kids could just all turn to be bats out of hell. They could all turn around and say they hate me. I know you look at my 2-year-old daughter and she's really cute, but even that one could one day turn around and be like, you're the worst dad ever. I hate you. It's just life. I hope that doesn't happen, but I'm just prepared for the reality that it could happen. So it's no guarantee, but the alternative is if we don't give them any direction, if we don't give our country direction, it just leads to pure anarchy. You know, there's a difference between not liking your parents and hating them to the point where you might even kill them, right? And you say, that sounds extreme. That's what the Bible says is going to happen in the end times. I mean, it's not like it's not over the news. I mean, literally, I said I wasn't going to bring them up, but you know what? I did do a little bit of the research. First of all, this one, actually, I didn't do the research. We just know. My generation grew up with the Menendez brothers. Remember that? They just murdered their own parents. Why? Well, because they were abusive. And then when they described the abuse, I was like, well, this doesn't sound that horrible. I'm not saying that maybe they weren't abused. I'm not saying that maybe it wasn't justified, but it wasn't for them to take it into their own hands. They just didn't have the right upbringing. Now, there's all this controversy. What, in the Dallas area, this kid named Carmelo Anthony stabbed another kid over a bench. But even worse, the parents or the people, his family raised like $1 million in the GoFundMe, and then they took the money out, and then they're kind of victimized because people are mad at them for raising all that money for a murder. They're like, well, he was 17. It doesn't matter how old you are. Murder is murder. You know what I mean? But why are we having those issues? Because people don't, you know, they think they're just free to do whatever they want, and they think that there's no consequences. Right? I mean, you'll hear it out in the streets. Look, just go out long enough and just pay attention to what people are saying. And people say all kinds of crazy stuff. They give it all away, right? Oh, they'll try this one as a child or a juvenile. Oh, you know, I teach my kid. You know, that's been around forever. Even, you know, gypsies or people that raise children to be a little bit ornery, sometimes they'll use them knowing that the police won't, you know, prosecute them at the same level. That's why even gangs and like, gangsters, even the narcos, will recruit young children to be like sicarios, like to be murderers, hitmen, because they know that in the court of law, they won't try them the same as an adult. Look, it's anarchy. It doesn't matter what the age is, who the person is. It's anarchy. Go to 2 Peter 2, verse 19. So we see this contrast, right? We see this huge contrast between the truth of liberty and the deceit of anarchy. In 2 Peter 2, verse 19, the Bible says, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandments delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is returned to his own vomit again, and the soul that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Now, I've never had a pig, but you know what? I've had dogs all my life. And two things the dog would do, you could have just kept it with the dog, is they will return to their own vomit. And nothing irked me more than my mom or my dad asking me to wash the dog only to let them out into the backyard wet and roll around in the dirt and get themselves all dirty again, right? You know, you basically have this animalistic instinct when it comes to, like, freedom without restraint. You know, it's this humongous anarchist viewpoint. Let's go to point number two. Go over to John 8. What's the source of true freedom? You know, I was raised here in the United States. I got here in 1985 from Tampico, Mexico. My parents, like, I didn't speak a lick of English. My mom actually was making fun of me yesterday because I called her to say hello, and she reminded me that when I first got here, my cousin, I have a cousin who's a month older than me, and I would go up to him, and I'd be like, hey, Michael, wish you, wish you, wish you, wish you. Like, I thought I was speaking to him in English, but it was just gibberish, right? But the cool thing about growing up in the United States from a young age, I don't know if they still do this, but I grew up in the public school system, and there's a lot of things that weren't great. But one of the things that was still great in my time was they taught us about, you know, the 4th of July, about the revolution, about liberty, about all the values that came with that. And it just makes you want to be a proud American, like you want to be part of this movement. But the reality is, why has America always had this liberty mindset? Versus, like, think about Mexico. Mexico doesn't have that mindset. The reason is the source of freedom or true freedom is what? The Word of God, right? We based everything in our country on the Word of God, whereas in Mexico, everything's based on Catholic corruption, right? It's just like whatever the best thing of the day. And you know, I mean, they're suffering that with the first woman president in Mexico. That's a judgment from God. That's not a good thing. It's a bad thing, right? Go to John 8. Go to John 8 just as a way of, but we not only need our salvation, but we need our submission to Christ, right? We are freed from sin, but not to sin. And so we need to remove this rebellious spirit from our lives, right? Freedom begins when we get saved, but it continues when we submit to His Word. And there is a difference. I remember when I first got saved, nobody really gave me direction. So I continued living the life that I was living. And it was just miserable. I'm just going to be... And actually, I do remember one thing that stood out, and it was more miserable. Because I remember, his name is Pastor Johnny Pope. That's who led me to Christ. He serves at Christ Church Baptist Fellowship right here up in 1960. And I remember when I got saved, he said, now things are going to get worse before they get better. Because now you got a target on your back. I remember that stuck to me. And I just remember I actually went down a more dark path for like a few months before I was like, you know, I need to figure this thing out. Like, I don't want to just continue down this because the Holy Spirit does move in you. And of course, the Lord is also chastising you. But go to John 8, verse 31. The Bible says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. So see, that's why we're not anti-Semitic. I mean, Jews believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We love them, right? But the challenge is most Jews are not going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. How do we avoid sin at all costs? Through the Word of God. That's why the Bible says to meditate therein day and night. You know, the times where I have it the toughest, and sometimes it's not even just sin. Sometimes just things are going wrong. 9 times out of 10, I can point to the fact that I've been dropping the ball somewhere in my spiritual life. I mean, the Lord's not going to... How do you expect the Lord to bless you if you're not willing to submit? The blessing of salvation and the blessings of life are two way different things, right? It's like my children and you, anybody who's sitting here, you're blessed because you didn't do anything to end up in the United States of America. Even me, I didn't move over here. I didn't spend the money to decide to move from Tampico to the United States of America. I didn't realize that I was going to have such a great privileged life, you know, with great comfort and some of the best, you know, options available to us in the entire world. I didn't know that at 5. I mean, there's no way. The reason I'm here is because of my parents, right? I mean, there's no way. And it's the same thing with salvation. You know, just because you got saved doesn't mean that you're afforded all the benefits of salvation here on this earth. The only thing you were afforded is that you are now going to be in heaven, right? Just like if you were born in the United States, the only thing you're afforded is the ability to take advantage of everything that happens in the United States, right? I'm an American citizen, so I can take advantage or of the privileges that are afforded to me in this country from a governmental standpoint, from a libertarian standpoint. I can own my property, quote unquote. You know, it just depends on how you look at it. But, you know, we can do things like that because we live in the United States. But go to another country, that privilege doesn't carry over. You can't just show up to like Timbuktu and be like, hey, I'm an American, so hey, I'm just going to continue doing what I do. Go over to Romans 6. Go over to Romans 6. And right there in verse 16, the Bible says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Notice that's, we're talking about obedience, not faith, unto salvation, right? Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Hey, you didn't just go from, hey, I'm free from sin, to just free to do whatever I want. You're now what? The servant. You're submissive to righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, I like this. Pay attention here. It says ye were free from righteousness. Hey, we're either serving righteousness and we have freedom in Christ, or we're serving sin and we're in bondage to sin. The only freedom is in Christ. But that doesn't mean we're not servants to some law. We all have to obey some law. Even anarchy obeys laws, because at the end of the day, you know what? There's laws that you can't even control, like the law of aging. Who slowed down their aging? Tell me. Right? Now, I know I'm looking at Mo and I'm not picking on him. I'm just saying, I remember being 23. When you're 23, you think you're not going to ever age. And then one day you wake up and you're 45 and you're like, where did 23 go? What happened, right? Because we're subject to the laws of life, right? We're subject to, I know people, we live in a weird world where people argue that the laws of gravity don't exist, but we're subject to the laws of gravity, right? I've literally seen videos where people are like, well, gravity isn't real. You've been brainwashed, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, okay, whatever, right? We're subject to these things, but we're also subject to one law or the other. If we're in anarchy, we're subject to sin. And if we're in righteousness, then we're subject to the freedom in Christ. All right, go over to Romans 8, just a few pages over. Ultimately, what we want is freedom from eternal death, right? It starts with salvation, but it continues in submission. Now, I make that nuance because obviously when you're saved, you're not going to have eternal death. But we also want freedom from eternal death in the sense that we don't want to influence other people's eternal death. We really do want to be that light on a shining hill. Right? I mean, even today, what do? Like, we have options on a Sunday. You don't have to be here. You don't have to have the long day and go out soul winning and try to, you know, avoid getting wet. We don't have to do any of those things, but we do them because we also don't want others to go to hell. You know, those two people that got saved are two less people going to hell, right? And what it does is it gives me liberty, you know, in my spirit, to just know that God's going to reward me in some other form or fashion. Now, we don't do it for the reward, but we also don't deny the reward. Like, God's clear. He says, hey, he's going to reward us. He's not going to leave us nor forsake us. You know, we don't have to worry about tomorrow because God's already taking care of it. Go to verse 8. It says, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And I think one of the reasons I've also probably never brought a sermon on like the 4th of July, the Day of Independence, is I'm not anti-patriotic. I'm just not patriotic to the point where it's my God, right? I love the United States of America. I love what it stands for. I love the freedom. But I'm also not going to turn a blind eye to the sin and destruction and influence that it's that we're pushing not only in the United States, but across the world. You know, we're going around the world convincing them, you know, about all our stupid sin. Just everything under the sun. Where, you don't have to raise your hand. I don't know if people watch movies, but just think about it. If you grew up watching cinema of any sort, when was the last time anybody watched a foreign film? Very rare, right? But if you meet a foreigner, when was the last time they watched an American foreign film? Probably like within the last week. We dominate the cinematic space. We dominate television programming. We dominate media streaming. And let me tell you, it's not what you're going to read here in the Bible. It's exactly the complete opposite. It's drugs and fornication and the glorification of, you know, violence and murder. The same people who tell you that our country should have owned guns are the same guys who are making a movie all about shooting everybody up. Isn't that funny? They're like, oh, it's atrocious that, you know, so-and-so country would have all this genocide. And then, you know, it's the same guy who, like, has a whole movie on chopping people up. You know, I mean, just, and I don't know who I'm talking about, because literally you could turn on the TV right now and literally find a movie about chopping people up, a movie about a sadistic serial killer, a movie about fornication in all forms, a movie about adultery, a movie about just, you know, doing what feels right. You could... Isn't that what we grew up with? Oh, how many times did you hear this in a movie? Oh, just follow your heart. The Bible says the heart is, you know, wicked and deceitful above all things. How many times did you find a movie where it says, oh, you know, and there was always that one couple, they're like, oh, we don't believe in marriage. We just believe in being faithful to each other. I mean, I can't tell you growing up how many times I heard that in a movie, right? What's the other ones that you hear from movies? Hey, you're young. You got to live life. Do what feels right. You know, it's complete opposite of it's not just that we watched it. We're disseminating to the entire world. We're literally proselytizing the entire world, making them twice the child of hell. It's just it's one of the worst things ever. You know, you either have freedom or you have anarchy. And then that leads me to my third point. Go over to Jude. And we're going to be there in verse 4. Anarchy in the pulpit is what corrupts the pews. You say anarchy in the pulpit? Man, that's weird. What do you mean by that? Well, it's up to the preachers of America to preach the truth. And number one, if you omit stuff, you're fomenting anarchy. But also, if you're preaching stuff incorrectly, you're fomenting our anarchy because you're confusing the flock. I mean, the Bible gives us very clear instructions on church discipline, for example. You know, that's not the sermon, so I'm not going to go through it, but how many churches in America would probably get rid of 90% of their congregations if they implemented church discipline? I'm not even kidding, right? I mean, how much adultery and drunkenness and fornication is going on in the majority of churches in America today? You say, well, you're saying that none of your church... I'm saying that if I find out about it, we're going to deal with it. And if you're doing it, you need to take it up with God. But I'm just also saying that I'm not going to mince any words and I'm just going to preach about it. Probably most people wouldn't... You know, probably you wouldn't even need to do church discipline in a major church, if the pastor just got up and preached the truth, most people would be offended and be like, I'm never going back because it's too legalistic, right? It's too rigid. You know, I don't like church. I've heard all that in my life, right? But I don't like church. It's got too many rules. Bro, you live in America. Like, there's rules everywhere. You got a job, there's rules, right? You got a car, guess what? There's rules. You don't pay your parking tickets, find out what kind of rules you... But the preachers are dropping the ball. They're not preaching against the standards. you know, they're sowing seeds of anarchy. And it is concerning, because even though we might have some respite right now from some of the evil that's going on in the world, it's going to ramp up again. We need to prepare the next generation to be able to battle against that. You know, this morning we had like 15 kids in the audience, which was great. But man, my goal is to give them the tools necessary to fight against that tide that's coming, because it's a big tide. Today, people abuse grace. They ignore standards. They just reject the authority. Go to verse 4 of Jude. It says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men." What are they doing? They're turning the grace of God, of our God, into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, "I will therefore put in remembrance, though you once knew this." And by the way, this is a great verse for those people that say the Jews are God's chosen people. Let's see what Jude 5 really says. It says, "Though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people," or the Jews, "out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believe not." Hey, just because I saved you physically, if you disobey, I'm going to who destroyed them? God did. "And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, and set forth an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." And I want you to pay attention to verse 8. It says, "Likewise, also these filthy dreamers," what? "Defile the flesh, despise dominion," meaning they hate authority, "and speak evil of dignities." They're rebellious. They're rude. They're obnoxious. They talk back. They're jerks, basically, is what it comes down to, right? Titus 1:16. You go over to 2 Samuel, but in Titus 1:16, go to 1 Samuel 15, but in Titus 1:16, it says, "They profess that they know God, but in their works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate." But it's from the pulpit. You know why we like the book of 1 Samuel? Go to 1 Samuel. You know why we like the old-time prophets? Because they were men's men. And I like the old-time prophets because they take you out if you didn't preach the word, right? Samuel literally chopped up a king into pieces when Saul couldn't do it. Right? We're there in 1 Samuel 15 and verse 22. The Bible says, "And Samuel saith, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because," pay attention right here, "because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." And what are we? Aren't we saints and kings and of a royal priesthood? But if we reject God's word, Samuel's saved. Saul is saved and he's in heaven, but he rejected the word of the Lord here on earth. And verse 24 says, "And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words." And I love this, "because I feared the people and obeyed their voice." So look, we're obeying somebody, even in anarchy, even in rebellion. I'm either listening to everything you guys are telling me, and believe me, it has nothing to do with you guys here. Just everybody has an opinion. I know that. So it's not, and I'm not picking on anybody. You guys have opinions, and if it was a different set of congregation members, you know what? They'd have opinions. So I have opinions. If you ask me, I'm going to give you my opinion. Everybody loves to give their opinion. But you know what we shouldn't do is heed to all those opinions. We should heed to the word of God, right? That's the big thing. So let's start up. We've got a couple of minutes. I still got time. I just want to make sure. And then the fourth point I have for you is anarchy is, in the pulpit corrupts the pews, but the boundaries of liberty start where? Here. It also starts in the church. I didn't say liberty. I said the boundaries of liberty. Where does liberty start? Out in the hedges and the highways to the uttermost part of the earth. But hey, we want to drag those people to church and say, hey, let me show you what the Bible says about the life you're living right now. let me give you some boundaries so that you can be more productive, be more result driven for the Lord. And the problem is that the church has done such a horrible job, and then we wonder why the world is the way it is. I guarantee you, if we went out to like a Republican convention or something, and we said, man, I really take issue with President Trump having Paula White as his spiritual advisor because the Bible says that women shouldn't be preachers, I'd probably be kicked out of that convention. I mean, let's just be really honest. That's sad, right? I mean, it's sad that we get to the point where we're the enemy for telling people the truth. We'll go around just saying, hey, the Bible just said, you know, I've had this conversation over and over with a family member. I'm not as contentious with them anymore because I've learned to grow, like be more patient. But recently I was having a conversation about some purgatory prayers with this individual. And then the individual was like, I don't want to continue this conversation because you're always going to come back with, well, it's not me, it's God. But it isn't. It's not me, it's God. It's in the Bible. But this person doesn't want to hear it because they think that they're like, well, it's because you're always right. I was like, I'm not right. God is right. You give me enough time by myself, and I guarantee you I will be wrong 100% of the time, and so will you. The only reason that I'm right in anything is because of God Almighty. And people get so offended. Look, I'm not going around telling you how right I am about anything anymore. The young me maybe would have told you that. I don't care about being right. I care about being right in God's word. I'm just going to plow through these, but go over to Hosea so you don't have to follow me with these. Go over to Hosea, but the problem is that there's no authority in the home, no authority in the church, no authority in the nation. You know, the attack is literally against God. We know this, right? I mean, Samuel had to face the fact that the people wanted a king, and he was so mad at them. And what happened? What did God say? He's like, it's not you that they've rejected. It's me. The anarchy is rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 14:40 says, let all things be done, what? Decently and in order. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, and that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Romans 13:1 says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. We need to obey things, period. I wish it was the other way. I mean, like in my flesh, in my younger self, let me retract that statement correctly. In my flesh, I wish it was the other way around, but the reality is you realize quickly, actually, you're glad that it's not the other way around. Authority is there for a reason. Right? I mean, we all have to answer to someone, somewhere, somehow, some way. And it's so much better when you actually just give in and just follow the rules, even if the person that's leading is a jerk, because overall, God's going to bless your efforts. That's why we have so many problems with feminism today, right? I think of feminism because, you know, I get questions about people asking me like, you know, so if I have an abusive husband, you know, you're saying that I just have to submit? Yeah. You say, that sounds like a really jerkish thing to do. No, because you didn't ask me the other part, which was, you know, there's a book in the Bible called Proverbs. And that book is 31 chapters of warnings. Literally warnings. Warning, warning. Don't marry this guy if he does these things. But nobody wants to listen to their parents anymore, right? Hey, how many of our parents? I'm glad even in my rebellious state that I listened to my mom. There was all these girlfriends that I had when I was a young guy, and she never liked any of them. And, you know, I think back now, and I'm like, man, I'm so glad I didn't end up with that one or with that one. Like, my life would have been miserable. There's a reason, right? Because once you're in it, it's over. Like, you've got to submit. So why not choose correctly so you don't have to deal with the consequences of choosing bad? See, that's the thing. Everybody wants to just choose, do whatever they want, and then they want no consequences with it. Right? That's why I tell my daughter, like, look, you better choose right. I mean, I tell my son too, he better choose right, but he's going to have to lead with authority. It's a different choice, right? But my daughter, like, I said, don't do it because it'll hurt me to see you suffer knowing that I have to obey the Lord and you have to obey that authority. So don't marry an idiot. Just don't do it. Don't marry a moron, because I'll be so sad. Just, I don't know what I'll do. Like, I'm just thinking to myself. But you're there, Hosea. What's the end of anarchy? What, like, what's the opposite? So you, it's liberty, or what did I call it? Anarchy, liberty or lawlessness, right? But either way, it's anarchy. It's really what I want to focus on. What's the end of lawlessness? What's the end of anarchy? It's ultimate destruction. And we're headed that way, right? We're literally writing lawlessness into our law books. We're so enamored with lawlessness that we're making it the law. We're going to get to the point where it'll be hate speech to preach against certain groups or about certain things. There's countries in the world where that happens already. There's a pastor, Pastor Bogart is his name. I've met him personally several times. He's in South Africa, and he's constantly being taken up against the courts for preaching against the sodomites because it's actually a hate crime. It's hate speech punishable by law in South Africa. Literally, they were like, how do we get away with breaking God's law? Oh, we'll make our own law. We'll just write it in the books. We'll just make it for ourselves. But go to Hosea. I'll just read for you really quick. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 7, the Bible says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Matthew 7:23 says, then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work what? Iniquity. We're going to get judged as a nation, as individuals, as a church. I just don't want that. Like, I think about the more I read my Bible, I'm like, look, it's our duty to stay on the straight and narrow. When judgment comes to this country, I believe it's already here, but I'm talking when it just keeps escalating. I want to be so righteous to the best of my ability. I know I'm not perfect, but I want us to be just so enamored with the Lord that he just builds this wonderful hedge of protection where we kind of live in this little bubble from the rest of the world. And you know what? Currently, we kind of have this little bubble, our church group, our church family, that's shielded from the rest of the filth of the world. Amen. Because what are people doing right now on a Sunday? They're not at church. Every Sunday morning, I come down Clay Road. Pastor, you've seen them. And I have to avoid what? All the cyclists. People are more concerned about their health than they are about their spiritual health. So annoying. I think it's only annoying because it's Sunday morning. I'm like, you should be at church. Amen. I almost feel like rolling down the window and like, bro, what are you doing? Get to church. You know, I'm not going to. I stay clear of that. But go to Hosea. Hosea 8, verse 1, the Bible says, I needed to take a drink. It's been a long day. Set the trumpet to thy mouth. He shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they what? Have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law. Israel shall cry unto me, my God, we know thee. Israel hath cast off that thing that is good. The enemy shall pursue him. And I love this, verse 4. They have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut off. The calf, O Samaria, hath cast thee off. Mine anger is kindled against them. How long will it be ere they attain to innocency? For from Israel was it also, the workman made it. Therefore it is not God, but the calf of Samaria shall be broken in pieces. And I like this. It says, for they have sown the wind, and they shall reap of the whirlwind. It hath no stalk, but the bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the stranger shall swallow it up. The judgment's coming. I don't think it's a coincidence. We've had some weird weather. Right? I mean, I know it's like it's cyclical, but we've had some weird weather. I was telling my wife, I was like, what a blessing. I look at it as a blessing, but it's still weird. We're already in July and we've yet to have a real heat wave. And by the way, I'm not praying for it to come. I'm just saying it's interesting, right? And not only that, but there's like all kinds of weather systems and storms and heat waves. And I know part of it is part of the cycle, but then the extremes, that's the judgment from God. So let's close this thing out. In conclusion, go to 1 Peter 2. In conclusion, you're not going to find freedom by casting off the rules. Like, we have to live in a law and order country. But we also have to be careful who's spewing that and where it's coming from. Because Trump says he's for law and order, but he's not a Christian and he's not preaching from the King James, so I don't think everything he says is law and order. Let's just be honest. I still think he's better than the alternative. I just don't think he's that great. Right? The reality is we have to surrender to who Jesus. It's not a license to do as you please. You know, honestly, I mean, I'm looking at my notes here. I'm just making sure I'm not, because it's a little repetitive. But what we want to do is we just want to focus on the fact that, like, this 4th of July, we want to, if we really want to celebrate freedom, what we need to do is praise the Lord. I mean, really, that's what it comes down to. I was trying to come up with a really fancy way to say this, but praising the Lord and saying, Lord, what you say to do, we'll do. Remember when Moses spoke to the children of Israel and they're like, no, we're fearful of the Lord. We will do what he asks. You know, we want to do what he says. That's the attitude we need to have. Because no, remember, shortly after, they went down and were rebellious. All of us are capable of onslaught and rebellion and anarchy, or even fomenting it. I mean, it's real easy to do that. That's why we need to be in church. That's why we need to read our Bibles. That's why we need to constantly be just pushing this law and order in our lives. Matthew 11, verse 29 says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You're there in 1 Peter 2. Galatians 5:13 says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. And then there in 1 Peter 2, verse 15, we'll close out with that one. It says, for so of the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Look, we don't need to argue with people all the time. We don't need to debate people. We just need to live righteously. It'll speak volumes. Now, we're not lifestyle evangelists, but we are lifestyle righteousness. We should live righteously regardless, but who cares about what people think? We just do it because the Lord does. People will take notice. But I love verse 16. It says, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. So look, I know people are mad, and I'm going to say this very carefully. I'm not tippy-toeing. I'll just say, if Trump decided to make a dictatorship and become king, we would still need to honor the king. Now, I'm not for it at all. The country is fine the way it is. The Constitution is awesome. The legislative branch, the executive branch, the judicial branch should exist. He should be out of here in 4 years, and we should replace him with another president, good or bad. Like, the system works. But countries change. We need to listen to what the Word of God says, right? Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. The challenge is nobody wants to do that. Oh, I'll only listen to him if he's good to me. I mean, how many people have had jobs where you hear that kind of stuff? Well, that guy's a jerk. I mean, I've been guilty of being mad with authority. I mean, we all have a rebellious spirit if we're not careful. But we need to not activate it. So on this 4th of July, as you look at liberty and you go back, study it out. But the founding fathers did do some good things, right? They looked to the Word of God for the way that they founded this country, the way that they established it. And what we need to do is look at the good stuff that they did and then enhance it with the Word of God and then live our lives that way, right? I mean, most people this 4th of July are going to get themselves really drunk. They're going to shoot off fireworks. And they're going to do all kinds of lewd things. You know what you should do is just read your Bible and thank the Lord that you're free in this country. You say, that sounds real simplistic. The Lord doesn't want you to be fancy. He just wants you to love him. I mean, that's really the truth. So let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the opportunity to be here, Lord. Thank you for all those in attendance here today, Lord. Thank you for the wonderful rain and the cool temperatures in the month of June. Thank you for all the the freedom that you give us, Lord, to live life according to your rules. I know it sounds like a paradox, but when we read the Bible, it makes perfect sense. And my prayer is that more people would submit to your word, Lord, and would walk in your ways, and it would allow them to themselves to be, their paths to be lighted by you, Lord. And Lord, I just ask on this 4th of July that everybody would enjoy time with friends and family, and that if an opportunity presents itself, that we would be able to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and shine forth as a light on a shining hill. Thank you for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The final hymn.
All right, turn in your hymnals to song 304.
Just go, okay?
Song number 304, Sweet Hour of Prayer. We'll go ahead and a cappella. Oh. All right, we'll play it. Song 304. Singing. You're all dismissed.